welcome to Souls on Fire with your host, Joe Trainer. Joe is a husband and father of three, and for 29 years was an award-winning and very successful college football coach. Today, he is the director of athletics for Pope John Paul II High School. He is a leader, a man of character, and filled with the joy of the Lord. Joe was running for God's heart and became a soul on fire. Listen in every Monday as Joe interviews other sports figures and businessmen and women who bring their faith into the marketplace. And now, here's Joe Trainer.
Hello and welcome to another edition of Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer. Tonight we have Professor Heidi Henry, an English professor up at Community College of Rhode Island, CCRI, in North Kingstown, Rhode Island. I hope everyone had a great 4th. Still pretty hot out there for a short fat guy like me. It always feels like it's 95 degrees and 90% humidity. But I also want to take an opportunity to thank Peter Marsico from the Knights of Columbus for his sponsorship for our program today. Peter, we would be lost without you. Heidi, do I have you there?
You have me here. Can you hear me?
We got you, buddy. We got you. A really special guest for me tonight because this is somebody, you know, the one thing I think I've done a pretty good job of amid all my mistakes is I surround myself with people that are just, for lack of a better phrase, great influences on me. And this woman has had a profound impact on my spiritual journey and is one of the greatest witnesses of discipleship that I've seen in my entire life. And I don't say that, you know, in hyperbole. I truly believe that. And just our topic tonight is going to be trust, surrendering to you know, your will to the Lord. I know Ann was just talking about that, which was kind of nice in her program at the end of it. You know, trust, surrender your will to the Lord. And that's going to be our topic tonight. I've never met a Christian woman who has this type of unconditional trust in the Lord in the good times and in the bad times. And Heidi, when I started this program back in October, you know, I go to you a lot of time for some spiritual counsel. I said, hey, you know, I think I should go with a prayer. And then and you kind of inspired me to use the prayer that I open with every week. So we're going to take a minute to say that prayer quickly. So in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. Heavenly Father, as Heidi and I gather here in the next hour in faith and fellowship, I ask that your thoughts be our thoughts, your words be our words, your deeds be our deeds. And when we leave here tonight, we take you with us everywhere we go. Amen. Father, Son, Holy Spirit, amen. Professor Heidi Henry, Associate Professor of English, tenured professor at CCRI in Rhode Island. She was hired in 2013 as a full-time faculty member, as an assistant professor of English. Began doing adjunct work at CCRI in 2010 after spending 10 to 12 years as a stay-at-home mother, which there's no greater, harder, more challenging, more rewarding job than that. So she started out as an adjunct professor and in 9 short years was promoted to Associate Professor of English at CCRI. She holds an English degree from the University of Connecticut. She earned a master's degree also in English from Rhode Island College. And she has 3 beautiful children, Zach, Jake, and daughter Olivia, who just graduated from high school. Jake is a freshman, rising sophomore, correct, Heidi?
Yes, correct.
And Zach is 21, beautiful, beautiful people, beautiful family, beautiful kids. And her daughter Olivia is a scholarship student-athlete runner at Syracuse University. So I'm really excited about this. Heidi, how are you, my friend?
I'm doing great. So great to be here.
Awesome.
And, you know, I just wanted to say, you know, first of all, if I could just take a minute to just share how honored I felt when you asked me to come on your show and to just say, first of all, thank you for having me here. And, you know, you mentioned, you know, when you were preparing to begin this journey back in the fall last year, And I remember when you told me about this opportunity that you had been given with the radio show. And I just knew right away that you would just thrive in this capacity and in this role. And I have enjoyed listening to so many of your powerful and just beautiful conversations that you've had with your different guests. So I'm just so proud of you, my friend, and so happy for you. And as you and Maureen know, you're truly family to me, and I just love you both so much. So I just had to start out with that little shout out.
I love it. I love it. Well, you know, we feel the same way about you and your family. You know, when I was preparing for this show and kind of trying to come up with a theme every week, and you know, when I look at you and you know, the need for trust, and that's a big thing for me right now, because I'm, you know, there's certain things in my life I feel like, you know, I believe, I practice, I pray. But, you know, there's some things in my life, some aspects of my life where I say I trust, but I'm about 90% there. And, you know, the other 10%, I'm hovering, right? I'm like, I feel like I'm standing over God, like, you know, hey, what are you doing? Why isn't this happening? So there's times in this last probably 6 to 7 months where, you know, it's just total surrender is not, I failed at it. And when I look at you, and when I think of you, Heidi, I think of Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trust in the Lord with all your heart and do not lean on your own understanding. In all your ways, acknowledge him, and he will make straight your paths. I think, I was talking to Mike Manning this weekend, Colonel Manning, and you know, we were talking about you, and more than any other, you know, male or female, you're just your unconditional trust in the Lord in the good times when it's easy to trust, but more than that, in the challenging times that we all face as parents and employees and just, you know, just kind of mucking through life the way we are. And, you know, your commitment to your faith and your discipleship is pretty awesome. It really is.
Thank you. And, you know, like you had mentioned, you know, it's an ongoing journey. It's an ongoing relationship. And, you know, like you, I have days where, you know, I can offer up, you know, like the Bible says, you know, I have today about the size of a mustard seed.
Sure.
I know you can do something with it. And he always does, you know, and we can't always see the forest through the trees, but in time, you know, I think when we're able to get at certain points in our life, and again for me too, like it's a process, it's an ongoing practice, and it's certainly something that I need to continually cultivate daily. But you know, when we can look back and recognize, it's like that footprints in the sand, you know.
Yeah.
Wow, you know what, you have brought me here. And you know, when we can kind of give ourselves, you know, a little look backwards at the timeline, and you see, well, you know what, things really ended up working out better than I could have imagined. But you know, we can't always see it when we're going through it. So you know, I think we all go through these experiences, these hardships, these painful periods where you know, we don't know what's coming, right? We don't know how it's going to end. And you know, I have found that the more I can just give to him, and sometimes it's like you said, like drop down on my knees, thy will be done. It's full surrender. And other times it's, you know, where are you today?
Sure.
You know, where have you been?
But you mentioned a good point.
Here's
though,
what I have, but I know you can do something with that. And he always does.
And but you mentioned a good point, like the need to do it daily, right? You know, almost hourly. You know, it's like, and you're a former great athlete, you know, great runner. But you know, there's days when you feel like you're running a 5 minute mile, and then there's other days where you feel like you have a piano on your back and you're running an 8 minute mile. But it's still the need to date, you know, to for fitness, right? For you know, for spiritual fitness, the need to do it. You know, even when you don't feel like doing it, or even when you're in periods of darkness. I mean, it's just the practice of the ritual of, you know, the consistency of prayer and preparation, you know?
Absolutely. And you know, I will also say, you know, for my own life, when I'm, you know, like, you know, we all have our periods where, you know, I have my stretches of time where I'm just like, oh, I'm making a mess out of everything. Like, I was a disaster today. I was yelling at my kids and just lost my patience and, you know, panicking over this that's completely out of my control. And I'm trying to white knuckle everything that's beyond my power. And, you know, just there are days I feel like a total train wreck. And, you know, when we go through this, well, when I go through those periods, and, you know, and I feel like lost, or, you know, just the difficult episodes seem to be stringing together. And before I know it, you know, it feels like now I'm stuck in this space again. Yeah. I don't know why. It's like, you know, the coconut needs to hit me over the head for the obvious, but he never leaves me.
No
doubt. You know, I get lost in the waves, and I lose sight because I get busy with life or distracted. And, you know, like you just said, it's a daily practice. And so, you know, to be mindful of taking that moment and just sitting still and just giving him a few points and then just being quiet and listening.
And or, getting out of his way, know, right? Getting out of his way.
Prayer, reading scripture.
Definitely.
Listening to a song. Sorry, I didn't mean to cut you off.
No,
but
no,
yeah,
no.
Those are the moments where I say, you know, why didn't I just do that a week ago?
Yeah.
That would have been so much better.
I was reading a novena prayer on the weekend. It was a surrender novena. And, you know, God was, he says, it's like the confusion the children feel when they ask their mother to see to their needs and then stand over them with anxiety. Watching their mother, you know, help. It's like, that's not what God wants. God wants us to just get out of the way and kind of, you know, surrender, you know, the whole thing, the good, the bad, the ugly to him. I was listening to Mark's gospel on Sunday at church, and it was six, you know, Mark 6, 7 through 13, where he commands the 12 to go out and, you know, no second cloak, no wallet, no food, nothing. And as I was thinking about that, I was like, man, that's surrender, right? Like, there you are. Mm-hmm. Like, you're not bringing anything with you. You know, you're going into hostile territory in a lot of those towns where the good news isn't being received as good news. You know, just the need, you know, he's calling us to do the same thing 2,000 years later. Hey, just trust in my message. Trust in my master plan and be a vehicle to bring people closer to me and then let the Holy Spirit work within me. And I know you as much as any friend I have, the people that you've brought closer to the Lord is truly inspirational. Heidi, talk about, you know, your upbringing, you know, born and raised, you know, Rhode Island born, Rhode Island bred, right? Talk about that. And then, you know, some of your early influences and, you know, obviously you don't, you know, I met you, you were probably what, early 40s, no, late 30s, whatever,
yeah.
Around there. But, you know,
probably mid-30s.
Yeah, you had a solid foundation. But talk about some of the, you know, some of the influences that have, you know, had an impact on your faith journey.
So, okay, I grew up in a city called Woonsocket, Rhode Island,
yep.
Which is the, you know, most northern city and the smallest state in the country. So I graduated from Woonsocket High School in 1988, as you mentioned, and went on to UConn, got a degree in English. And it was after I graduated from UConn that I started to feel this deep pull inside, this strong yearning to pursue a teaching career. And on a side note, you know, when I was younger growing up, my parents were divorced, but, you know, I guess the silver lining there was I did get to spend, you know, a good amount of time with both. And, you know, I watched my mother my whole life. She was a first grade teacher. And, you know, she just modeled just, you know, such just incredible, incredible passion for teaching. And, you know, my entire life, she would always be at the table cutting out apples and grading papers. And, you know, and I would watch her tutor students. And, you know, so I had her influence on me there professionally. And my dad, he was in sales and in the business world. And he did a lot of sales training and workshops and seminars. So I used to kind of, I remember going to some of those and sitting on some of those sessions and learning about sales techniques and things like that. So long story short, teaching was without question in my DNA. And I remember, you know, during my time when I was at UConn, I was teaching some fitness classes and aerobics classes and just loved the live energy that I felt, you know, in connecting with my students. So I, you know, I did go on and pursue a career in teaching high school English. And I originally went back to my alma mater, Woonsocket High School. I loved it. I absolutely loved it and knew this is without question my professional calling. And I was really inspired and motivated to keep cultivating that craft. So that's when I went on and went on to graduate school. But like you mentioned, soon after that, I gave birth to my first child, my son, Zach. And originally, my intention was to take a year or two leave of absence, but then ended up having my daughter, Olivia, and then my youngest son, Jacob. So like you mentioned in the introduction, my 1 to 2 year leave of absence turned into a almost 10 year period of being a stay at home mom. And I loved it. You know, I absolutely loved it. And I do not take for granted that I had been fortunate, you know, to be in a position that I was able to do that. Sure. And I understand without question, that was a privilege and one that I'm extremely grateful for. But, you know, during that time, there was always this little pull inside, this little yearning that wanted to also be back in the classroom. And I knew, you know, intuitively, I knew that there would be a day when I would return. So fast forward, at the end of 2009, I went through a divorce. And during that time, it was crystal clear that, okay, now's the time. It's time to go back.
Sure.
And then I did not know how. I had been out of teaching for 10 years. I didn't know where I was going to go. I didn't know how I was going to be able to balance what would essentially, you know, be a new career because I had been out of the profession for so long.
Sure.
And I worried, you know, how am I going to handle this? How am I going to make sure that my three kids who were young at the time, you know, felt stable and solid and secure, and you know, things were, you know, happening in our family, you know, and it was just really important to me that no matter what, they knew and felt and believed that everything was going to be okay. And you know, I had a solid foundation. It's an interesting one, which I'll share in a minute about my Christian upbringing and kind of where I got my original base. But it was during that period where I was going through my divorce and, you know, considering, you know, trying to go back into teaching, that's where my relationship with God went to a whole new level. And since that time, you know, I have to say since that period in my life, this relationship has become and has grown stronger than anything I have ever known in my life. I have very vivid memories of that time just asking God, you know, for complete direction. Like, sure. I don't know what I'm doing.
Yeah.
Show me what to do. I have no idea where to start. And just putting all my trust that he had a plan for me and for my family. So initially, I put my name into some of the local public high schools to work as a substitute teacher, hoping that, you know, perhaps it could lead to something more permanent. And also at that time, my dear friend Leslie, who's a professor at CCRI, Community College of Rhode Island, she had encouraged me to apply and interview for an adjunct teaching position, which, you know, now we know how that ends.
Sure.
You know, and I just remember being in that interview with the department chair at the time. And, you know, I just felt this really strong sense of peace and calm. Yet I was really excited and it just felt so right. And I left there hopeful and excited, but again, like complete looking up, you know, thy will be done. I have no idea where I'm supposed to be right now. And I trust you do. So I'm just okay. And as summer started winding down and the school year was approaching, it looked as if, you know, I would be substituting. And I was a little stressed about it because I wasn't sure how I was going to get my youngest son to daycare so early in the morning and still get myself to high school on time because, you know, high school starts so early. And again, you know, I had been out of the professional realm for 10 years. So I was, you know, my morning working routine groove was not happening in the moment. So I was, you know, kind of anxious about all of that. And I really wanted to ensure that Jacob's morning routine was stable and not chaotic. Yep. And again, just I will be done. Right before the school year began, I got a call from CCRI, and they offered me 3 English courses to teach at their Newport campus. And, you know, talk about dropping to my knees and just being overwhelmed with joy. And it has ended up being something that I could have never imagined. When I say it has been just the most rewarding, gratifying way to make a living, I have never felt more grateful.
Well, you're changing. You're changing lives.
I can
too.
Take care of my family and work in a profession that I just absolutely love.
No
I
doubt.
Absolutely love it. So,
and you're great at it.
You know, again, I give that all to him. You know, and there is not a day that I don't drive over that Newport Bridge, or, you know, except obviously during COVID where I've been teaching online, but where I don't look up and thank him. You know, thank you. Like, thank you. I could have never, you know, this is beyond my wildest dreams. And it is just an absolute honor to teach the students that I serve there. They're amazing.
It's amazing. 2 things. Number one, yeah, I think the people sometimes lose sight of the gratitude that community college students have with their faculty, because they're taking the hard road, right? I mean, these are not most of the time students of privilege. A lot of them have been in alternative education or putting themselves through school. And, you know, when you have a professor, a dynamic professor like you, who's investing in the whole person, you're changing lives, you know, with the students that you're impacting on a daily basis.
Thank you. And I was just going to say, yeah, I mean, anyone who knows me knows, I just love what I do. And, you know, and I say all the time, I'm like, my students are the most impressive, exceptional, inspiring students on the planet. Like, they know. They teach me every day, and it's because of them. And, you know, their ability to share their experiences and perspectives, whether it's through their essays or through their speeches, they make me want to be a better person, you know, and they have helped, really helped me to learn so much about just the world in general.
That's awesome.
I can't be more grateful.
That's awesome. You touch on gratitude too, right? I mean, I think in the last like year, in those pockets of, you know, darkness or flatness, I'll say, from, you know, in my prayer life, for lack of a better term, when I feel it's flat, sometimes just taking time, you know, multiple times in the day, and thanking God for, you know, the daily graces you have. Sometimes prayer can be just gratefulness, right? Just thanking God for,
absolutely,
you know, the graces that we're aware of, and then the countless graces that we're not even aware of that we receive every day. You know, but just like that's, I tell sometimes people that may not come from, you know, a faith-based background or that are struggling with prayer life, hey, just take 10 things that you're in your life that you're grateful for, and thank God for them. You know, and then I think it shifts the whole paradigm when you do that, because then, you know, when you realize, you know, how grateful, how many blessings you have, you stop comparing yourself to, you know, you stop, you know, wallowing about what you don't have, number one, and then you stop comparing yourself to your contemporaries or your other people that you may be friends with or that you know through work, and just, you know, an attitude of gratitude, you know, goes a long way in, you know, establishing a relationship with Christ.
Absolutely. You know, I had heard a quote back in the spring, and I actually wrote it down and put it on my refrigerator, and it was something to the degree like, and I don't have it in front of me right now, but, you know, gratitude turns whatever you have right now into enough, into more than enough.
Amen.
And you know, it's easy in life. You know, we're all in it. We're all on the hamster wheel, and, you know, it's easy to start to feel like, oh, you know, we're lacking this, we're lacking that. And it's when you start to list all that you have, you realize, you know, you have more than most. You know, when I start going through my list, suddenly I went from feeling anxious and stressed to feeling like, just, I don't deserve this.
No doubt. This is, wow. It's the truth. You know, you have three beautiful kids, you know, we kind of raised our kids together, right? You know, in the same kind of, you know, Jake's a little younger, but, you know, certainly, you know, Zach and Liam, and then Livy and Kira in the same cohorts. You know, you want your children to kind of, you know, establish a personal relationship with Christ, because, you know, I look at the darkness, you know, in my dark periods of life, and, you know, and maybe your dark periods in your life, it's like, hey, my faith was what got me through the darkest periods. It wasn't humanity, it was my faith and God, you know, carrying me with the single pair of footprints, you know, on the beach when I wasn't able to carry myself. And it's just, it's a daunting task with young people today, because I think they're exposed to so many different things that we weren't exposed to, and we were able to benefit from a much more simplistic life, you know, 30 years ago, when you were kind of, there's some of the things that are consistent, you know, that they you know, peer pressure or whatever, but the social media, you know, and I mean, what robs you more of happiness than social media, when people are posting different things, you know, adults and children, right? It's like, you know, you see, we live in this culture of, you know, look at me with the car and the vacation and the honor student and everything in between. And it's just, you know, is there any insight you could give some listeners with, you know, with that are raising, you know, young adults and teenagers and young kids, in terms of how you can kind of, you know, you're modeling behavior, you know, as well as anybody, but like, what do you say to parents that are trying to instill, you know, in their own children, a walk with Christ?
Well, you know, if I would first say that more than anything, this is probably that primary area where I need my trust in God the most.
Sure.
And, you know, and, you know, there are a lot of areas where I lean on him for guidance. But I think parenting is probably my, you know, number one.
I'm with you there, bud.
Area. You know, faith and trust, without question, are at the core of surviving parenthood.
I guess. No doubt.
For better word. Because at least in my house, every day is like a, you know, like a surprise grab bag. Like, what's today going to bring?
Didn't see that coming.
You know, pull out the, okay, here's what we got going on today. You know, and again, you know, as a parent, I have made, you know, and I say this just truthfully, honestly, you know, so many mistakes, you know, and I'm sure many parents, you know, identify, you know, like if I had a dime for every moment where I could have a do-over, or if, you know, if I had only known then what I know now, you know, and, you know, I always think of, I share with my students, the late Steve Jobs, his 2005 Stanford commencement address, where one of his talking points deals with, you can't connect the dots, you know, moving forward. And it's, you know, kind of where we, you know, everything we're talking about.
Yeah.
When you look back, you say, oh, well, this is, you know, why we had to make all of those mistakes. And this is where they led us, you know, through, you know, faith got us here. You know, I'm sure every parent cringes, you know, at some of the mistakes that they've made. One of the things that I try to do, and I don't always do it well. But it feels right, and this is what my heart says to do. And so, you know, through the grace and forgiveness that he gives me, and, you know, through that, you know, we can then give others that.
Amen.
And show compassion for ourselves and for others. So, you know, first, I will recognize, you know, with his help, I did the best I could.
No doubt.
Okay. So how, you know, what do we do from here? And, you know, sometimes I'll tell my kids, you know, listen, if you're really stuck, something that has always helped me is I just go back to Proverbs. You know, it's like, it's all in there.
Yeah.
Like there's the handbook for life. And, you know, I'll go and sometimes just even, you know, say to my kids and model to them, not because I'm necessarily even intentionally trying to model it. It's just what I want to do, you know, is to just say, listen, I messed up. I exploded, or I made a really big deal out of something that wasn't a big deal, or I'm sorry, you know, I love you. And, you know, it just, that's not always easy to do. But he has helped me to be able to do that. And, you know, my faith in him gives me more patience with my kids, because I have learned, or I'm learning, and I'm guessing this is going to be a lifelong lesson.
Sure.
But that, you know, the more I can surrender to him, I don't have to white knuckle every little thing down here and try to control again, you know, 90% of the things that are out of my control.
And it's time we spend worrying about
that. And it's easier said than done.
Yeah.
But, you know, when my patience is, you know, maxing, or I'm worried about my kids, you know, I always surrender them to him. And, you know, I have to say that I have had some profound moments in my life where I have just been flooded with this just knowing in my heart that he's got them, you know. And, you know, it might happen in a sign, or something might
sure.
happen, but, you know, and to somebody else, they might say, oh, that's just a coincidence, or that's just a sign. And,
no,
and that's fine.
Yeah.
To me, this is what it meant. And, you know, trusting that he's got my kids, and, you know, he does, you know, I look back and, you know, we went through some hard times, you know, going through a divorce, raising three kids, three teenagers,
no
you know,
doubt.
And they all had their, you know, different.
They all do. All of our kids do, right?
Challenges, all of our
yeah.
kids, different detours along the way. And, you know, you and I have said many times, you know, as a parent, you're only as happy as your saddest child.
Yep.
You know, when one of your babies is hurting, you're broken.
Mm.
And, you know, so those are the moments where we just, you know, get on our knees and surrender. And, you know, again, it's like coming back to that footprints. You know, I look where we are today.
Sure.
And just, you know, they're good. You know, they're doing great. And I'm so proud of where they are, all three of the kids, you know. And
absolutely.
Again, I just give that all to him. I'm like, you brought us here. So let's see what we got going on for the next.
Awesome.
The next chapter, you know.
Absolutely. Listen, we're going to take a quick break here, and then we'll be back with Professor Heidi Henry, English professor at CCRI.
To you, our faithful family of listeners, no words can express how much we appreciate your standing in the gap with us here at In His Sign Catholic Radio. It is truly your amazing prayer power, your undaunting commitment, that has enabled us to stay on the air. No doubt about it. Be assured of our daily prayers, not only for you, but for your families as well. We pray that God will continue to bless you as you bless us. To join us and become a ministry partner, visit our website at inhissign.com. www.thebrightside.com or give us a call at 610-527-2906.
Hello, my name is Peter Marsico. I am the general agent of Southern New Jersey and the state of Delaware for the Knights of Columbus. I lead a select team of 11 financial professionals who serve the Catholic community. We teach Catholic families about the importance of financial planning and how to secure their future. We give Catholic families the products they need through a company that shares their beliefs. With a company that has Standard & Poor's and AM Best's highest ratings for several years. And we will not invest any of our money that's opposed to the moral teachings of the Catholic Church. You can reach me at 609-335-5189. You can email me at peter.marsico, M-A-R-S-I-C-O, at K-O-F-C, short for Knights of Columbus, .org. I am blessed and honored to sponsor both Kathy and Joe.
Welcome back to Souls on Fire. I'm your host, Joe Trainer, with Professor Heidi Henry. Heidi, we talk about, and you and I, we talk, you know, once or twice a week, even if it's but for, 20 seconds or so. But I think the one thing about you, you know, when we have, you know, you're the Bible that, you know, you don't impose, you know, you're not what I would call a hard sell. You know, you're not expecting people to convert, but you are living your faith, and all the good things that happen to you, you're attributing it to God, which there's beauty in that, right? And, you know, you are what I would call an unapologetical disciple of Christ. You know, and you have this way about you, like there's a boldness in your discipleship, like you're not afraid. You know, even in mixed company, I say mixed meaning, you know, believers and non-believers, or people that, you know, at a backyard barbecue, or people you may not even, you know, friend of a friend of a friend. Like you have this boldness about you that really has taken me, you know, on a really long time to master, and I haven't mastered it yet because I'm still. I wouldn't say I'm timid, but like there's a, you know, probably not only in the last year have I been able to show that boldness in terms of like, hey, this is why I am who I am, and if there's any goodness coming out of this, you know, squatty body, it's because of Christ and the power, you know, his divine power. Like how are you able to just how are you able to do it in such a way that doesn't alienate people? You know, it's your subtle, I don't want to call it subtle because it would be diminishing, but there's a way about you that's just like all the good things, you know, whether you get a promotion or something good happens to your kid, the first thing out of your mouth is, hey, God is good. And this is the Holy Spirit working for me. And I just, you know, as do you feel like you're getting more emboldened in your faith with that in terms of when I would call it a kind of a subtle evangelization. I mean, you're not holding a gun to someone's head and saying, hey, do you accept Christ as your Savior? But you're also walking around saying, hey, I'm proof that the Holy Spirit, you know, I'm proof of God's, you know, divine goodness and his master plan and his divine providence. And talk a little bit about your approach when you talk about your faith with other people or talk about your faith in mixed company.
Well, you know, I guess it's, you know, my primary fundamental place of operation, you know, for me, you know, it's like the songwriter sings, you know, let there be peace on earth, let it begin with me, sure. You know, and I just feel like, all right, God, like, help me, you know, be the best version of myself. And like I said, I there's so much work to do. It's not even funny. It's a lifelong process. You know, bring up the debris and let's do some personal inventory and work on some stuff. But it's a relationship that, you know, my faith has just given me some tools and some ability to just love the world or see the world, I guess, or try to see the world through his lens. You know, one of the primary fundamental pieces of scripture that I tried to use as my fundamental place of operation, and I wrote it down so I wouldn't forget it, but it's John 13, verse 34 and 35. And Jesus said, a new command I give you, love one another. Mm. As I have loved you, so you must love one another. And by this, all will know that you're my disciples, if you love one another. And it's that simple. And for me, that's just what it is. And, you know, I...
There should be a massive period after that, right? And nothing else really
absolutely
matters. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. You know, and I recognize that this beautiful world that we live in, that, you know, has some, you know, it needs some work, right? We got some problems to solve. But, you know, this beautiful world is rich in its, you know, diversity, perspectives, backgrounds, people's experiences, people's beliefs. And, you know, one of the things that I love is, you know, learning from other people and growing in my own, you know, you and I have talked about this, my own sensitivity and appreciation for someone else's experience or someone else's viewpoint or background.
Sure.
And, you know, it's when I engage with others and communicate and learn about what their journey has been like from their, you know, place of operation. That helps me grow as a human being. And that helps me, you know, work towards trying to be a better, more loving, healthy human being. And so, you know, again, it's like, I think we all have our different, you know, we all have a purpose, right? We're all here for a reason. And, you know, I ask him every day, you know, guide me, show me. And, you know, it's just always been very clear, you know, just lean on him for strength, you know, give him the credit because it's his, he has given me everything and, you know, and empowered me with the tools, you know, for whatever they are and guides me. And so, you know, I look at, you know, what's my job and what's his job. And my job is to, you know, have that faith with him, you know, or lean on my faith to, in order to have that sense of guidance and clarity. And it's through that, you know, connectedness and relationship with him that I go back out into the world and, you know, engage with people. And I just love, I love people. I love good people.
Amen.
I love goodbyes. I love all people from all backgrounds and perspectives, you know, and my students, you know, my students have taught me so much. I am so humbled for the privilege that I have to get to work with them. And, you know, I teach writing composition. I teach public speaking. And my students come from all different backgrounds.
Sure.
You know, you name it. I have students from every age, race, ethnicity, creed, religion,
sure,
gender orientation,
yeah,
sexual identification, life experience, students who have been in the military and still are, students who, you know, are new to the United States and English is not their first language. And it is so beautifully rich and diverse. And every one of them knows that, you know, when they come to my class from the second they get their syllabus, that they are respected and appreciated and valued, and their voices are valued, and you know, and they have taught me so much, and just helped make me a better person. So, you know, I guess, you know, even though they're separate areas of my life, personal and professional, it's all one.
Overlap,
you know,
yeah,
in
definitely.
Regards to, you know, how I operate in the world, whether it's, you know, professionally, personally, you know, they kind of all, it's the same.
Pretty cool. And again, like I said, I think the beauty of a community college platform, right? It's like you have kids that have to take semesters off because they don't have enough money. And then, you know, life happens. And then, you know, you have children and then, you know, back trying to get, you know, better themselves and maybe break cycles of poverty and stuff like that. So it's much more fluid. And I would tend to think as a professor in that learning environment, they truly, truly, you know, there's no entitlement in the kids you're in the men and women and young people you're teaching, and it, in terms of you getting juice, and like you just attributed, you know, the intrinsic value of feeling really good about what you're doing in terms of changing lives, that's got to be an amazing experience for you.
Yeah, honestly, I get rejuvenated and inspired every day, you know, and I tell them that this is, I can't imagine a more rewarding, gratifying way to make a living, you know, it's, but again, you know, it's coming from a place where I just, it's just such an honor and a privilege to serve them, you know?
Well, I know, you know, you and my wife have an incredibly special relationship, Mo and you, and but she's, you know, she knew you were coming on tonight. And she's like, man, that woman inspires me spiritually, professionally, in motherhood. I know she gave you tribute in a work video a couple months ago. But just you have this infectious way to, you know, your sphere of influence. God is using you, Heidi, to bring people to him. And it's pretty awesome. So I wanted to just ask you one other question. So I ask this question often from a lot of my guests, but, you know, the giftedness of faith, right? Like, you have this gift of faith that you have cultivated and that has been watered and the seeds were planted. But, like, do you ever wonder, like, there you are, you know, lightning bolt knocks you from the horse, right? You know, midlife, you know, you're you know, you feel alone, you're you know, single parent, you're trying to, you know, oh my gosh, what am I going to do? How am I going to be a provider? And then, and you turn, you know, you turn it all over to Christ, right? And yet, you know, it's almost like, I don't want to say it was divine intervention, but like, you know, how are you able to do that? And then maybe someone that you love and care deeply about turns to alcohol or drugs and not faith. It amazes. If it's a giftedness, there's a selectivity with giftedness I associate with, and I really struggle with that. Like, why, you know, I've said before, like, I'm, you know, not, I've, you know, six brothers and sisters, and a couple of us are faith-based, but, you know, and have strong faiths, and, you know, some of us don't. But there we were. We came from the same DNA, the same two parents, you know, and why I almost feel guilty sometimes that I have this gift that has weathered me through, you know, the storms when life has kicked me in the face. And I just feel like a steadfastness in that gift. And then, you know, I see people that I care deeply about that don't have that. And it makes me sad, honestly. You know?
Yeah. You know, I don't have the answer. I don't know. But I always know that he's not done with us.
No doubt.
Until the end, you know. Yeah. And, you know, I, you know, would imagine for some, you know, they develop that connection later in life. Sometimes it's, you know, meeting somebody or, you know, again, I don't know. I mean, I just know for myself, you know, I can't live without him. You know, this is without question, you know, my anchor, and you know, you just hope that, you know, I honestly, I don't know. I don't know the answer to that.
Nor do I. I think about that often. I just feel like, it's a gift, and that I thank God for every day, because it's been my faith that's gotten me through the darkness. I feel sadness for people that are just kind of wandering without an anchor, like lost in the sea of life, right? You know, where, you know, and then, you know, you're trying, whether you're trying to fill it with bigger toys or, you know, escaping with alcohol or drugs. I mean, it's just, you know, I often say I don't know. You look at addiction, right? This epidemic of opioids and heroin addiction. And then how do you ever regain yourself without faith? Because there is no surrender, because you can't do it on your own, right? You know, it's just, you need to surrender, you know, to ask for God's mercy and his strength to overcome those things, because you're not going to be able to do it on your own.
Yeah, you know, and just kind of understanding, you know, the principles of, you know, different types of recovery programs, you know, understanding that, you know, it's when somebody going through that, and again, I am not an expert, you know, this is definitely not my area of expertise, and I have no, you know, really, you know, I probably have no business even expressing this, but, you know, I know that, you know, one of the primary steps in a recovery program is surrender to a higher power, you know, and to know that there's something bigger than us, your creator, your power source, that, you know, and obviously for us, you know, as Christians, it's Christ. And so, you know, for people struggling with that, you know, it's trusting that, you know, there's something bigger than us that will protect you, and, you know, you can lean on that. But again, you know, kind of going into an area that I, you know, definitely, you know, this would not be my area of expertise.
No, definitely.
To give wisdom or,
nor is
or
mine.
You know, advice.
Definitely. Listen, before, as we fun. Wind down here, I have to ask, St. Francis said, he who sings prays twice. And I can't carry a note to save my life, but I love this saying. And you and Mo, I think, like music more than any two people I've ever met. And I got to ask, and I've seen both you in action at concerts. You know, K-Love, right? Christian rock, you know, it's kind of been more, you know, there's a universality with, you know, I think K-Love, when you started listening to K-Love, I think you turned me on to it 10 years ago.
Yeah.
You know, I think there's, you know, I run into a heck of a lot more people that are, and again, it's almost like you're in the closet with it. You're like, oh yeah, there's this station K-Love and they play some really cool spiritual songs. You're like, oh, you listen to that too? And it's like, oh yeah. So, you know, you're not, I think I've become less, you know, timid about, you know, again, with like all evangelization, I've just become, you know, this is who I am and these are things that work for me. But, you know, I know we're constantly, you know, texting each other if there's a new song, whether it's Zach Williams or you know, Casting Crowns or whatever. You know, I know, and I feel like, you know, in the last 5 years, my music has become such a big part of my worship. You know, and you know, I know you appreciate, you know, song and worship as much as anybody I know.
Absolutely, you know, and sometimes, you know, we
nothing against Bon Jovi.
About...
Nothing against Bon Jovi for you and Mo, but I'm just going in a different direction.
We talked about, you know, hitting the reset button, right? You know, we're going through life and just feeling, you know, lost, losing our way, which we at least I do. You know, I certainly do often, and I need to dial back in. And we talked about that being a daily practice. And sometimes those days do run into each other and then become, you know, a week. And sometimes just to stop and be mindful and to just sit quietly and to listen to music, that can just instantly turn, you know, that fire back on and just, you know, flood that heart with that warmth and recalibrate once again and strengthen that faith button. So without question, so much.
If I'm holding a gun to your head and you got a chance to go to one Christian rock band, front row, backstage, who's it going to be, Heidi?
I am taking your wife, and we are going to Need to Breathe.
There we go. Okay, well, she'll be glad about that. I know she's listening too, so I kind of set that one up. That was a layup. I figured we were going to say
one of the greatest nights of my life is when she and I went to go see them, you know, this little venue up in Pawtucket, Rhode Island, and we were right at the front stage, and, you know, we were jumping up and down and singing every word back to them as if they needed help with their lyrics. We just had the best time. They are exceptional. I highly recommend playing them and listening to them, to your listeners.
And then... And then when Sean, you, me, and Mo, who did we see in Philly? Was that Need to Breathe?
Yes, it was. Need to Breathe and Matt Kearney.
Matt Kearney, yeah. Love you, Seth, right? If Sean's listening, tell him I love you, Seth.
Great night.
No doubt.
Absolutely.
But Mo always jokes about that. She's always like, well, you know what? Heidi and I knew them when it was just, we were in a small venue, and now they're just too big, and but we knew them when they weren't anybody, you know, so that's funny stuff. Too fun.
Absolutely.
I know
diehard fan.
No doubt. Too. I don't know if there's a person out there that appreciates music more than the both of you. So you're finishing. You have summer class here. You're teaching class this summer right now. I know you taught two in the first session, right?
Yep. And teaching another summer class. So all good stuff. Public speaking. It's going really well.
Do conversations with your students ever venture into the spiritual idea or no?
No. You know, again, you know, these are my beliefs.
Yep.
And this is, you know, my place of operation. And I am, you know, unwavering, you know, in my relationship with God. And, you know, nothing is going to change me or convince me in my personal life otherwise. But, you know, when it comes to in my professional life, you know, again, you know, what I carry into my professional life is, again, that energy and that, you know, what I had talked about earlier in terms of just loving and appreciating people. And, I am so engaged and excited and eager to hear from my students and whatever it is, you know, they want to talk about. So, you know, again, it's like, you know, I have students from all backgrounds and all religions and all creeds.
Sure.
And, you know, so again, you know, I want them to know that this is a place where,
safe,
you know, all voices and perspectives are valued. And, you know, they certainly, they know just that, you know, I'm their biggest fan. And my goal is that when they're in my class and that they leave this course experience, that they feel empowered and, you know, more confident and just have a deeper sense of self. And I think a lot of that comes from, you know, I kind of show them some principles, whether it's, you know, these are some effective communication principles or writing principles. And, you know, and then they put that into application. And it's,
absolutely,
when they do that, that's where the magic happens. And so, you know, again, kind of, you know, this is their moment to shine.
Amen. Listen, buddy, we're out of time. I love you. You're changing lives and you're doing an unbelievable job. Keep swinging.
Thank you.
All right, buddy.
Thank you.
God bless everyone. Right. Take care.
for your heart. I'm running for your heart.